I'll be reading Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they were gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord, and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charges." And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Good evening. Am I a little loud? There we go. Last week we had a really good Sunday evening. Our young men did a fantastic job. As Briar said when he got up here, he asked for a topic. And sometimes preaching, the hardest thing of preaching is to come up with a topic. Am I right? Sometimes that's the hardest thing because we have so many different things that we want to say and we can't focus in on one thing until finally we do. Tonight, this lesson has kind of been on my heart for probably about 4 months now. It has been one of those that I've read and studied and thought about and had sitting, just kind of lying in wait for some point in time to be able to preach it. But we sung a song, "This Is My Story." How many times do you think about your story? And I don't mean like the what you tell your kids at night, the bedtime stories, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears or anything like that, but what is your story? Each of us has a story to share. And sometimes we don't think about it like that, do we? You see, our story can sometimes affect others. Our story can also change. You see, there are many things that go into your story, the story of your life. And that's the people you meet, the circumstances you're caught in, and the actions you take. You see, we started out with this reading of Stephen being martyred for the cause of Christ. But there's a little snippet in there that we kind of read through that we miss. It's as they are getting ready to stone Stephen, there's this little sentence here in verse 58, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." You see, Saul had a story, didn't he? This is one of the very first instances we see Saul, that he is there at the death of Stephen, and they all throw their clothes, their coats, at his feet. But it goes on in chapter 8, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At this time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." We see first he is standing there as they throw their coats down at his feet while he watches them stone Stephen. And then he goes on from there creating havoc of the church. And not just creating havoc, but himself going into houses, dragging men and women off to jail for being Christians. Now, if you heard that story about this person, you wouldn't want to meet him, would you? We'd kind of run the other way. He sounds like a really bad guy. And it goes on, and he tells this story twice throughout the book of Acts about his conversion. His story changes through his life. Starting in chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, we're going to spend most of our time in Acts chapter 9 tonight. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You see, Saul said, if anybody is of the way, I'm not going to discriminate. I'm not going to pick out just a few, but anybody that is of the way, anybody that is a Christian, I want to drag them off. I want to take them to prison. And I've got letters that agree with me to do this. You see, he was starting off strong. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drunk. You see, in everybody's story, there's a few things that matter. Same thing with Saul. The few things that matter is people matter. People matter. But not only that, circumstances matter. And circumstances matter so much that it causes us to have actions. And actions matter. Those are the three things that I really want us to look at tonight. Is first, that circumstances matter. You see, throughout this whole story of Saul's life, he thinks he is doing right. He thinks that everything that he is doing is correct. And so many times we have circumstances that we think may be right. You see, over in Philippians, he starts off in Philippians chapter 3, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in this flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, no matter what, I thought I was right. He said, I grew up this way. I grew up a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was very zealous in everything that I was doing. You see, his circumstances mattered to him. He thought everything he was doing was correct. But all of a sudden, those circumstances changed on that road to Damascus. As he was going to persecute the church even more, his circumstance changed. You ever been in a spot where your circumstance changed? I think we all have been in that spot where our circumstances change at the drop of a hat. I work for my dad as my Monday through Saturday job mostly. And our job can change every day. We might have plans at one point in time, and then we get a phone call and those plans change instantly. I never know what I'm doing from day to day. And in fact, last week on Wednesday, me and Dad was getting ready to travel to Gallatin, Tennessee, to look at some cars. So we stopped in Baxter, got gas, and he said, before we head out, text the guy and let him know that we're coming today. So I texted him, said, we're on our way. And a phone call come through, and he said, hey, don't come today. I don't have the keys ready for you to look at these cars. Why don't you put it off till Thursday, maybe Friday? So our circumstances can change in an instant. That's how Paul was, or how Saul was at this point in time. He has this idea that he is going to Jerusalem, and he is going to pull Christians and take them to jail. And then a great light shines, and then Jesus speaks to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he stops and he says, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm the one you're persecuting. And he changes everything he's doing. Sometimes these circumstances happen to us. There's a reason for everything. One of my best friends, all throughout from first grade till now, had two open heart surgeries. So this young kid was born with only two chambers in his heart. And we all know that each heart has four chambers. But not only did he only have two chambers, but it was backwards and in the wrong place. So all throughout school, he had to have open heart surgeries. And in fifth grade, I'll never forget, he had to go to Mayo Clinic to have another one of his surgeries. So I spent time, before he left, we got the class, we all sent notes to him, we videoed with him, and then in sixth grade he had to have another one of those surgeries. So for 2 years in a row, I spent my time worrying about my best friend as he was up in Minneapolis and never realized what he went through except for just that we were worried about him, we were caring for him. And it wasn't until one day I wake up with a rash. I'm getting ready for work. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm taking a shower. I'm going to help teach cheer camps. I wake up with this itchy rash all over. I'm like, well, maybe I'm just hot. So I get in a cold shower, and that rash gets even itchier and even larger. So I kind of get a little freaked out. I go downstairs, I knock on Mom and Dad's door, and so I got this rash. And of course Mom does the same thing I do. Oh no, it's everywhere and it scares you. So she says, you need to go see the doctor. So at 8 a.m. that morning, I called in sick, said I'm not going to be there today, I've got to go to the doctor. 8 a.m. I meet Dr. Therese, because I didn't have a full doctor at that time. I was still going to Cookeville Pediatrics as an 18-year-old. And it was Dr. Therese's very first day. I was his very first patient in Cookeville, Tennessee. And as he is looking at my rash, he listens to my heart. I'm like, why are you listening to that? I'm itching. Fix the itch. He goes, well, we need to check this out a little further. So he calls Dr. Franklin in there. And he says, Dr. Franklin, you hear this? He goes, oh, yeah, it's okay. He goes, nah, I want to check it out a little further. So he goes, sends me for test. 2 weeks later, I'm having open heart surgery. And my best friend, who had four open heart surgeries before me, spent almost 2 weeks with me every day, calling me, helping me through it. The night before open heart surgery, he has his dad fly in pizza from Chicago. So his dad would happen to be in Chicago, and he freeze-dried some Geno's of Chicago pizza, brought two back for us to eat that night. Of course, if you know anything about surgery, you don't eat before you have surgery. The doctor told me, I said, well, we're having Geno's of Chicago pizza. He goes, okay, just one little slice. I said, okay. Those slices are that thick. He said, okay, maybe a half a slice. But our circumstances change. Sometimes they're bad, and when circumstances are bad, maybe that's there for a reason, and that reason is to help others through it.
You see, my best friend, I went through it with him. I was with him and turned around. He went with me throughout all that as well. But when it's good, when our circumstances are good, we can bless others. You see, Saul's circumstance changed that day on that road to Damascus. A bright light shined in his eyes and blinded him, stopped him in his tracks. If you've ever had a bright light shine in your eyes, it kind of stops you for a minute. But this stopped him. And he heard what he needed to hear. It goes on, though. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one calling Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him so that he might receive sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at that once, and he arose and was baptized. You see, not only do our circumstances matter, people matter. People are put in our lives for reasons. Sometimes we may not often know that reason right then, but there's a reason some people come in our lives. Here, God says to Ananias, "Ananias, I want you to go to this street called Straight and inquire at Judas's house for Saul of Tarsus." Can you imagine what he's thinking? Wait. You want me to go see Saul? He's the one that is bringing people to prison for calling on you. You want me to go and see him? He says, "I've already created a vision for him. He knows that you are going to come and heal him of his sight. But through him, I'm going to speak many things. He is now a chosen vessel of mine." You see, people matter. In our lives, there are three people that generally matter to us. The first one is others. Other people matter to us. So many times, the decisions we make are based because of the others that we see. You know, as kids do, we watch others and we want to do exactly what they do, don't we? I'll never forget, anybody ever seen Evel Knievel? Everybody grew up watching Evel Knievel. You see things that Evel Knievel does. And I still remember he tried to jump like 30 cars in a row on his motorcycle. Don't know how many times he had to practice that to get that right. But the very next day after I watched that, I took my bicycle. Yeah, you can imagine where this is going. I took my bicycle and I jumped this little hill that I've been a little afraid to do. So I jumped a hill. I landed. Everything worked out great. And I'm like, well, now I got to go bigger. So I take my bicycle, and I had a rope swing. So I thought, well, you know, if I take this rope and tie it to my bicycle and take off, when I get to the end of that rope, it's going to pick me up, and I'm going to be able to kind of curl it around and be kind of cool. That was the wrong thing to do. I'm still walking, but we sometimes see other people doing something and we think that is neat and we want to do it too. Or we see the decisions they make and Maybe it didn't turn out so bad for him, so we decided to make that same decision. Never forget the one time my parents, all of us guys, go camping. Everybody's going to shave their heads. Sounds like a good thing. I told Mom and Dad, they're like, don't shave your head. Easy. Friday night, we get to this cabin out in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee. Everybody starts shaving their head. Tyler, you going to do it? Yes, I am. Go to it. Sunday afternoon, when I get home, I go and put a ball cap on so Mom don't see it. Very first thing she says to me when she pulls up the driveway and I've got a ball cap on, she goes, you're grounded. What? I didn't do anything. Take your hat off. Okay, I did do something. I'm sorry. But we let others kind of help us make decisions for us. Sometimes we make decisions on our own, so the other people that matter is us. Because we make that decision. You see, Saul had heard so many things that he was zealous to persecute the church. And he thought he was right. So he continued to make that decision. And even to the point that he got letters from the chief priest to go and drag more to prison. So we matter because ultimately we make the decision. But the most important person that should matter when we think about decisions we make is God. In every decision that we make, we should think about God and the things that He wants us to do. You see, Saul had made all these decisions before to persecute those who called on God's name. And now God says, it's time for you to be my chosen vessel. Your circumstances put you here, and now I have chosen you. So God matters. In everything that we do, we should think about what God would want us to do. God has asked each and all of us to carry out His mission. And His mission is that we should bring others to Him. To teach others, it says, go into all the world, making disciples of every nation. He has started to help us make that choice. And He has commanded us to do that, to make this choice. So the most important person that should matter is God. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that He is the Son of God. You see, all throughout this time, Saul has made his choices via what others had told him and what decisions he wanted to do. But now God has talked to him, and his circumstances changed like that. And now he is doing what God wants him to do. You see, he let everybody else make choices for him, and he did make choices for himself, but now he's making choices for God. So it says, immediately after this happened, he preached the Christ. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. You see, our story can change. Our stories can change because of the circumstances we're in, the people that we meet, but also because of the actions that we do. You see, Saul had many actions throughout his life, whether he is watching somebody crucify other people with stones, talking about Stephen, to whether he is going into people's houses and binding them and taking them to prison for calling on God's name, to now he is walking and teaching and preaching for the Lord. You see, our circumstances change. Our decision-making changes because of the people we are, and our actions follow that. You see, so many times we forget that God can save even the worst of people. So many times we are worried that we're not good enough or that we have not done enough. But you see, it's not about us, it's about God. He can take some of the worst situations and turn them into something that is going to glorify Him. He says, this was going to be a bad situation, but He is a chosen vessel of mine. And God has chosen each and every one of us. We are His chosen vessel as well. He says, for I have loved not just one or two people, or just this nation of people, but it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son for us. And it's our actions after that that's going to matter. You see, Saul heard the word. When that bright light shined on him, he had nothing else to be able to see, but he could still hear. And he heard what God told him. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He heard. He didn't see anymore. He heard. And that's what Romans tells us to do, is hear the word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, our actions matter when we can hear and listen. And then he believed him. You see, when he's sitting there in his worst of days, because I can only imagine this would probably be one of the worst feelings in the world, to be walking along and then all of a sudden you're blinded. Anybody ever been driving and a bug fly in your eye? Or is that just me? A few of us have had that happen, and if you're driving and that happens, it instantly scares you, don't it? Because you can't see nothing and you're in the middle of the road. Sometimes doing 35, or you may be on the interstate, and all of a sudden you're doing 65 or 70, and you can't see. His world was changed in an instant. As he's walking, he is totally blinded. So not only did he hear it, but he believed it. Sometimes it takes our circumstances changing for us to understand what we're supposed to be doing. All throughout college, I started a college ministry my freshman year in college, ministering to college students, trying to teach God's word. And my grandmother looked at me and said, you need to be a preacher. No, that's for somebody else, not me. I'm busy doing this. And it wasn't until after she passed away, while we're sitting in the funeral home, that those words came back to me. And I just kind of stopped. I looked at Mike Webb, who was my youth minister growing up, who was the preacher at Double Springs for a while. I said, Mike, Granny always told me I needed to be a preacher. And I think maybe she's right. Maybe it's time for me to listen to what she told me. He goes, well, why don't you contact Johnny Fox? I said, okay. So I called Johnny Fox, and in this period of time, I'd started studying, and Johnny said, Tyler, you want to know one thing? He goes, the very first sermon I ever preached, I had wrote a letter to your grandfather at Double Springs and said, I would like to preach. Can I come one Sunday night and preach for your congregation? And your grandfather gave me my first opportunity to preach. He said, so I'd love to have you come and speak for me. So, okay. So me and Letha, I'm going to preach that Sunday night at Holiday for my very first time. So we decide to go Sunday morning so we can kind of see how many people there are. So I show up and, you know, we're meeting people, and I knew a few people there, and Johnny gets up there and says, and today we have Tyler Gall with us, and he is trying out for our youth minister position. And I stopped. I was like, well, do what? I did not know this. But it was a situation that changed. Our circumstances change and our actions matter. So he believed what God told him. He said, go into the city and it will be told to you what you must do. So he went to the city and he waited. And he waited 3 days. And he waited so patiently, not eating or drinking, but in prayer, waiting for what he was supposed to do. Waiting for what God would tell him to do. And in that time, God sent him a vision saying, Ananias will come and heal you. So he believed it. So many times we hear things that we just don't believe. But here he heard it, he believed it, and he changed his ways. He repented of his sins. You see, repentance is a change, a complete change in the way we were going. See, he was on that Damascus road going to bind people to take them to prison. To all of a sudden, 3 days later, after he strengthened himself with food, that he immediately started preaching the Christ. He changed his ways. But the other thing that happens is confession. You see, in one of my very first sermons as a young man, like our young men did last week, my great-grandmother gave me this slip of paper. Said, you will never go wrong as long as you preach this slip of paper. And it was the steps of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live faithful. And I've kept that in my wallet every day since she gave it to me. The only reason it's not in my wallet right now is my mom took it to laminate it for me. That way I would still continue to have it to this day. But see, we have to confess that Jesus is Christ. He says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation in Romans. He who confesses me before my Father, I will confess before my Father in Matthew chapter 10. Then we have to be baptized. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter is preaching to them, it says, then they were pricked in their heart. And they stopped him in the middle of the sermon. Said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Said, be baptized, washing away for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says, there's also now an antitype which does save us, baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a clean conscience unto God. But then we have to live faithfully. You see, our circumstances matter. The people that we come into contact with matter. But it's our actions that also matter. Throughout this story, we see circumstances, people, and then action. And that's each and every one of us. We all have circumstances that sometimes come up that we don't know why they come up. We have people that we talk to that we don't understand why we have people that we talk to. Then we have actions. I'll never forget one of the first few times I met my wife. I was working as a manager at a sporting goods store, and you know, I always strive to be the best. It's one of my downfalls, I think, is I'm hard on myself because I want to be the best, whatever I do. So I was asking at the time, I asked the owners, I said, who is your best salesperson? And they named off somebody else, and I was like, oh, it's not me. Okay, what can I do to make myself better? I said, okay, how about this? Next person that walks through the door, and they had said, he was really good with the females. I said, okay, I can change that. Next girl to walk through this door, I'm going to sell her $300 worth of stuff. Okay. They said, if you don't, what are you going to do for us? I said, I'll buy everybody's dinner. So we're standing there and we're joking about this. Well, this girl pulls up in this Tahoe. And they look at me and it's Letha. Didn't know who she was. She come in. I gave him a thumbs up and I walked over there and I said, ma'am, what can I do to help you today? I'm looking for an Auburn hat. And I thought to myself right then and there, oh, she's a dummy. She walked out of the store and didn't buy a thing. Costed me money the very first time I ever laid eyes on her. Still today, costing me money. But we have actions that matter. We sung a song as we started, Blessed Assurance. But the very chorus of it, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. You see, we can have blessed assurance if we remember God in our thoughts, if we remember that He is in our actions and our circumstances, and as long as we do what He asks us to do, we will always be on the right side. If there's anything we can do for you tonight, whether you put Christ on in baptism and have fallen away, or maybe you've not put Christ on in baptism, you can do that tonight. If there's anything we can do, please come as we stand and as we sing.